Anya waited as the cloud of black dust, dirt, and wood fragments came to rest on the white snow. Derek still gripped his blade in a fighting stance, but his eyes were on the entrance to the burial mound. Hansen looked extremely pleased with himself, but he too stared at the entryway. Only Wishman didn't focus on the burial mound, but instead on the sky above him. Anya figured she'd seen too many monster movies, because she partly expected that some giant, seething monster, too hideous to describe, would suddenly heave open the earth and shudder itself free. No such thing happened. Anya frowned. Her sword still gleamed in her hands.
Is that it?
Remember what the old man said? He said that our god would be invisible to eyes like yours.
So maybe you have to be insane to see him?
He is here. He will take you and you will die.
I thought you wanted that privilege for yourself.
I would never dream of taking something for myself that already belongs to my master. My goal was merely to keep you here until it was time to turn you over to him.
Wishman's body seemed to rear back and then stiffen as he toppled face first into the snow. Something shimmered over his body like waves of heat despite the cold.
He lives. Our master lives, Hansen!
He does. See how he feasts on the body of the old Inuit.
Anya looked at Derek and Hansen and shook her head. The shimmering haze seemed to have vanished. Anya spun around, searching for it. Hansen and Derek turned to look at her, and then both men seemed to drift farther away.
What are you doing?
Anya brought her sword up and in front of her in case either of them launched a surprise attack. But Derek had lowered his blade and was busy putting it back into its sheath. A wave of pain passed through Anya's body. She struggled to keep the sword in front of her center line. As she backed up, she suddenly stumbled and went down on her back in the deep snow. The sword landed next to her and sank beneath the top layer of white. Anya's hands scrambled to find it. She looked around, and as she stared at Derek and Hansen, she thought she saw the same shimmering haze only a few feet in front of her. She found the sword and held it out in front of her. Anya stabbed out into the shimmering haze and marveled when it felt as if her blade actually cut into something denser than the frosty air. Anya toppled into the cold, biting snow as an unseen force blew her sideways. She came up with the sword again, wiping the melting snow from her face. Her eyes ran with the water and the sudden moistness. She could see Derek and Hansen smiling from the other side of the clearing.
How did I get so far away from them so quickly? Is there really a dark god here now?
She couldn't see anything, and now she couldn't hear anything either. Anya landed hard again. The sword landed point up some distance away. Anya scrambled to her feet. She turned and looked, and then saw the shimmering haze again.
Either I'm crazy or that thing is actually attacking me.
Anya ran across the snow. She would need something other than the sword if she was going to survive this. But she had no idea what other skills she could call forth. She'd never battled a god before, and the sword didn't come with a user's manual. With the sword in her hands, Anya turned and then closed her eyes. There in the swirling gray mists of her mind's eye, she saw it suddenly. A heaving, hulking beast that lumbered across the plain, leaving huge tracks in its wake. Sweeping paws or hands or claws dangled by its side, and the air around it shimmered as it passed through. Anya kept her eyes closed and brought up her sword. In her mind's eye, the blade glowed a bright silver against the red outline of the creature.
Is this the dark god that Derek and Hansen let out of its prison?
Anya felt her blade connect.
As long as I stay inside myself, I can fight it.
The creature attacked, swinging its arm. Anya ducked and stabbed upward. Anya flew through the air and the gray mist of her mind. She rolled, trying to get to her feet. The red outline of the creature came at her again, and Anya ran to meet it. Another blow crashed into her head. while another slammed into the side of her thigh. And she tasted her own blood for the first time in this fight. Anya whirled and cut a backslash at the creature. Anya ripped the sword free, then stabbed for the monster's heart. The sword sank deep, and Anya used the last bit of her strength to twist the point. Anya stood over the beast, then drove the point of her sword into its skull. Anya kept holding tight to the sword still jutting out of the creature's head as grisly, distorted images swirled and eddied around her. It was as if the rapids were tearing at her and the sword was a branch poking out from the shore of stability and life. Anya would not let go. More and more images came flying at her. The shades and shadows beckoned her, urging her to join them. It would all be so easy if she would just let go. The images yielded, shrinking back into the shadowy depths of her subconscious, seemingly content to wait for another chance to try to lure her again from her path, from her destiny. But for now, Anya still gripped the sword and finally opened her eyes. The white field of snow looked as though a score of soldiers had trampled through with their heavy boots. Anya could see the forward, backward, and sideways movements of footprints, the smear of slips and slides, and the impact of bodies hurled to the ground. She lay among the shallowest of these depressions.
Was I a part of this?
She rose to her feet slowly and surveyed the scene. No blood speckled the now dirty snow. No limbs lay hacked off in some grisly manner. Nor were there any bodies of slain figures. Only Wishman's body still lay where he had first fallen. Derek and Hansen had vanished. Anya glanced down at the sword and frowned. It felt heavy in her hands, and she struggled to understand what she had just come through. She felt battle-weary and battered, but she was unable to comprehend how she had arrived back here intact. She rushed to Wishman and turned him over. There was a line of spittle and melted snow dribbling from his mouth. Flecks of dirt marred his face, but otherwise she could see no sign of injuries. His eyes opened and fluttered in brightening sunlight. He looked around and then back at Anya.
Friend of Bear?
Yes.
And the Demon Seekers?
I don't know. Gone. Maybe they left when things turned bad.
What do you mean?
I think that I did battle with their dark god, and I defeated it.
Wishman tried to sit up, and Anya helped push him into a sitting position. He took her hands.
You did battle with the creature? How is that possible?
I don't know. But somewhere between this world and another, I fought it.
And won.
I guess so. It doesn't seem to be around here any longer. At least, not that I can see.
But you did see it. On this plane, I mean.
Anya looked around. The snowy woods and the bright sunlight made the memory of the battle seem even more unreal.
It seemed to be a shimmering haze, like a mirage.
Yes. Then you have seen it, my child. And live to tell the tale. It's a miracle.
Yeah, well, I don't feel very miraculous right now. We should get you back to camp.
No. We must first go down into the burial chamber and see what damage was done to it by the explosion those two idiots set off.
Anya glanced at the burial mound.
I could use a cup of coffee.
I know you're tired. I am as well. Even though the haze only knocked me down. Why it did not devour me then, I will never understand.
Maybe it wanted to do battle with me first?
It's very possible that it did see you more as a threat. You carry that Sword of Light.
Sword of Light?
How else could you have vanquished an evil god with it?
Anya helped Wishman to his feet.
Okay. Let's get you down into the mound, check out the damage, and then hoof it back to camp. I need a lot of food and a long sleep.
Just help me to the entrance. I will go down by myself, if you prefer.
Works for me.
Anya walked with Wishman over to the entrance, and as she did so, he looked again at the ground and the tracks that covered it.
Looks like I was running all over the place here.
When you fight in between worlds, this is the result.
Anya stopped by the entrance and took her arm from around Wishman's shoulder.
You sure about this?
I'll just be a moment.
Wishman walked down into the shaft. Anya looked around. She had never before given much thought to the supernatural as such, and certainly hadn't battled anything like this before. All of her other fights had been against mortal enemies, both human and animal. This was something very different, and even though she had defeated whatever she had fought, her emotions didn't match her achievement.
I've struck down a god, yet I feel like I am completely worthless.
Wishman stuck his head out of the burial shaft.
Perhaps you would like to come down here and see.
Anya picked her way into the burial shaft and saw Wishman beckoning her on. Something illuminated the way.
How is it that this place is lit up like this?
They continued to pick their way down the tunnel. Anya could see now on both sides of the tunnel that the branches had been almost entirely sealed off by the force of the blast.
The bodies in there.
We got most of them out. It shouldn't take us too much longer to finish digging them out and taking them to the new location. I think we'll be quite happy to do so.
Quite happy?
Indeed.
What are you up to?
I'm sure you will understand in time, friend of Bear.
Wishman pointed at the floor of the shaft.
See there? The bits of the wooden wall that was used to bar the creature from escaping when we originally constructed this tunnel.
How long ago was that?
So long ago, I feel sometimes as though it was nothing but a dream.
Anya stooped and picked up a piece of the wood. It felt heavier than any wood she'd held before.
What is this? Oak?
It is the strongest wood known to mankind. It is lignum vitae.
I know for a fact that doesn't grow around here.
Oh no. But it was necessary for this.
Anya let the piece fall back to the ground. She could see other, larger, splintered bits around, embedded in the walls and the floor and even the ceiling. One piece had shattered all the lights in the nearby area.
Incredible, this place still stands.
We're almost there.
Anya followed Wishman and saw that they were almost to the wall site. She looked and saw the remnants of the ground radar unit on the floor of the shaft. The yellow box was demolished, and the bits that had been blown apart in the explosion had melted into a shapeless mass of circuit boards and wires.
Whew. So much for the radar.
See where the wall stood only hours ago, barring the creature inside. Beyond, the shaft goes straight into the depths of the earth itself.
Anya could see the dark, foreboding hole ahead of her. Her heart hammered in her chest, and part of her expected the creature to come rolling out of the cavernous depths and attack her again. Wishman's eyes were locked on her.
Are you all right?
I'm exhausted. The battle, it wore me out completely.
You need something to wake you up.
What did you have in mind?
Only that which has been hidden from our eyes for many, many years. Would you like to see?
Yes.
Wishman stepped away and let Anya peek through.
Oh.
At the crook of the elbow where the wall had stood previously, Anya could look down the shaft. The brilliance almost blinded her. Diamonds. Nothing but diamonds as far as she could see.
That's amazing!
This kind of good fortune can only be called a gift from the gods for your help in doing away with the creature.
Yes, but don't the evil worshippers now own this mine?
It probably wasn't possible to argue in court that the deal should be struck down just because they'd tried to unleash an ancient demon. The court would probably not only find for the demon, but also award it pain and suffering for its years in captivity. Anya pointed back toward the entrance above them.
We should really get back to the camp now. We need to tell everyone else what happened.
What about the rest of the miners?
What about them?
Are they trustworthy?
Well, Derek and Hansen did claim to have drugged them also. Perhaps they don't even realize what they were a part of. It's not going to be easy breaking the news to them.
They turned and walked back up the gentle slope of the shaft. Anya spotted something and crouched down. A tiny sprig of herb lay on the floor, and she picked it up. It was too badly burned to recognize, but when she took a whiff of it, she caught a vague aroma that sent her head reeling.
Are you all right?
Anya held up the sprig, but as she did so, the herb crumbled into dust in front of them.
What was that?
I don't know, but it smelled strange. Made me lightheaded almost.
You're tired. Sleep is what you need.
They walked out of the burial mound and back through the pines.
They'll never believe us, you know.
My men will believe what they want, although some will see the truth immediately. The others will come around in time.
I was thinking more about the remaining miners, and Godwin.
The half-breed.
He's tried to do more for your tribe than anyone else. Can't you at least give him some credit? Is that so difficult?
For the Aractak it is.
Look, I know the loneliness that he feels. I'm an orphan. I never knew my mother or father, and I spent most of my childhood longing for a family and roots. You've got the chance to make a good man part of your tribe, and I think you should do it. If you want the Aractak to continue on and prosper, you will need men like Godwin.
I promise you this, friend of Bear. I will think on it.
All right. I guess that'll have to be good enough for now.
They finally entered the clearing around the camp.
They must be awake already. The cooking fire has started.
God, I'm starving.
Wishman guided her to the main lodge and opened the door. The crowd of Aractak men looked up. Godwin was among them, and he stood when he saw Anya.
What happened to you? You look like hell.
Good morning to you, too. Is that almost ready to eat?
I guess so. I mean, it was supposed to be my breakfast, but...
Would you mind? It's been a really long night, and I'm starving.
Where were you guys? I woke up and felt like I'd lost consciousness last night. Your bed was empty. So was Derek's. What gives?
Anya got a fork and speared the meat out of the griddle, plopped it on a plate, and settled herself on a log nearby. Wishman pressed a mug of steaming coffee into her hands, and Anya tore into the food. No one said anything while she devoured the food. Wishman stood nearby, almost as a protector, and she was grateful to have the moment to eat in peace and quiet. When she had finished her food, she set the plate down and drank the coffee, which had cooled somewhat in the meantime. Godwin squatted next to her.
You okay?
Friend of Bear is exhausted.
You look as though you could do with a meal yourself.
That's true.
Godwin turned back to the fire and got another plate for both Anya and Wishman. This time he piled on some scrambled eggs along with more meat. When he handed them back, Anya and Wishman started eating immediately. The remainder of the Aractak warriors watched in silence. Perhaps it was their experience that when their shaman entered in such a fashion, he must have had something happen, and they would wait for him to tell them rather than immediately press him for details. Anya found it a quaint throwback to a time when things weren't instantly dispensed at light speed over the internet via blogs and message boards. Anya finished her second plate and leaned back against the wall of the lodge. It was still cold, but somehow she didn't even notice. Anya sipped her coffee and watched as Wishman finished and handed his plate back to Godwin. Nyaktuk came forward and spoke to Wishman in low tones. Wishman nodded several times and gestured toward Anya twice. Nyaktuk stared at her, disbelief showing across his face, until it was replaced by admiration.
He must be telling him about the battle.
To Wishman's credit, Nyaktuk seemed to readily accept what the elder told him as truth and not fantasy. Anya hoped he would help them with the others. Godwin came back over.
What happened, Anya? The Aractak men are all quiet, and that means something.
Oh, you know that, do you?
I picked up a few things since I've been here.
Well, something did happen. I still can't quite believe it, and maybe you won't either, but apparently there was some kind of evil creature trapped in the burial mound. Derek and Hansen wanted to free it, and Wishman and I intervened.
What? What are you talking about? Evil creature? In the burial mound? Where?
Derek slipped out of the lodge last night, and I followed him to the burial mound. He was setting up the radar unit, and we found a wall, a wooden wall. That was what they were looking for all along. The company, your company, is run by some type of demon worshippers. Derek and Hansen were sent here to release the entity and control it so it would do their bidding.
You're joking.
She is not. She speaks the truth. I was there to witness it.
Anya told them the rest, except for the part about the sword. She noticed that some of the younger Arak'tak were exchanging dubious glances that she decided to ignore. When she finished, all she wanted was a warm bed to sleep in for a few weeks. She got to her feet, helped up by both Wishman and Godwin.
Thank you. I know that you have secrets you wish to keep. I will help them see the truth for what it really is.
Forget about it. All I really want to do right now is sleep for a very long time.
Of course. I think we have a lot of things to discuss here while you rest.
Anya turned and started for the door. The remaining miners rushed into the lodge. Anya recognized one of them as Hansen's second-in-command, Dufresne. The last thing she needed now was another fight, and judging by the expression on the man's face, that was exactly what he was looking for.
Where are they? Where do you think you're going?
To bed.
Where are Mr. Wainman and Hansen? We have some stuff to talk to them about.
What sort of stuff?
We were drugged by these Arak'tak, and we're not going to take this crap. If they don't sort this out, we're going to call the RCMP and get this whole project shut down.
Derek and Hansen are gone, and the Arak'tak had nothing to do with it.
Dufresne stood with his arms folded across his barrel chest and a grim expression plastered across his stubbled face. He listened as Anya filled him in on the story, trying to minimize the supernatural elements as best she could. When she'd finished, she stood to one side so Dufresne could see that the Arak'tak tribe was in agreement with the story. Dufresne looked Anya up and down, then turned to the rest of the men, who clearly took their cues from him.
Ha! An evil god! You hear that, guys? There's an evil god on the loose here, and Mr. Wainman helped set it free!
It's the truth. We were there in the burial mound, and we saw the entire thing happen.
Now, was that before or after you slayed the evil creature? Because I can't quite recall that particular detail.
Anya felt her blood surge. She didn't like being called a liar. Dufresne had been passed out in an alcohol-induced stupor tainted with drugs administered by Hansen. But Anya had to admit the whole thing sounded ridiculous.
Well, why don't you tell me what you think happened then?
Be glad to. Someone, I'm not sure who, put some kind of drug in our drinks last night, causing me and the rest of the guys here to pass out until just a few minutes ago.
It was Hansen who brought the whiskey, not the Arak'tak.
As I was saying, these Arak'tak must have had some kind of drug that they slipped into our drinks and caused us to pass out. While we were asleep, they took Mr. Wainman and Hansen to parts unknown and performed some kind of ritual sacrifice, killing them and hiding the bodies.
How in the hell do you go from missing persons to homicide?
Well, where are they?
I don't know where they are, but odds are they're dead.
Exactly.
But the Arak'tak didn't murder them. Hansen and Wainman took it upon themselves to resurrect an evil god. It probably backfired.
And that got them killed in the process? By what?
What do you mean?
Well, you said you killed this whatever it was, right?
Yes.
Then what was left to kill Hansen and Mr. Wainman? And where are the bodies to prove it?
It was a logical question, and one her exhausted mind hadn't had time to fully process yet. If she'd been rested, she would have thought of it immediately. But at the moment, she was too tired to think.
You see? What I think we got ourselves here is a little conspiracy.
A conspiracy? Oh, please.
Seems to me what happened here is when Mr. Wainman and Hansen came up to check things out, these Arak'tak here got wind that they were sitting on a lot more than they originally thought when they sold the land. So they dreamed up a rather unusual way to try to renegotiate the contract. And in the end, Wainman and Hansen got shivved for it.
The Arak'tak wouldn't stoop to murdering Hansen and Wayman over a piece of land. That's crazy.
Didn't you just stand here and tell me a story about an evil creature who had been imprisoned until our bosses freed them? And you say I'm the crazy one?
Anya shook her head. She had to try to make sense of what had occurred. She needed time to try to figure out what had become of Hansen and Derek. But standing here verbally sparring with Dufresne wasn't going to help the situation.
I need to sleep. You guys can sort through this mess.
But how? We need your help to convince them that we are not the savages they think we are.
You don't need me. You need someone impartial and clear-headed to help you sort through all this. Wishman, you of all people know what I went through just this morning. You were there. I am completely exhausted. I am going to bed because I am no use to anyone like this.
But who will help us?
Anya looked across the room and pointed.
He will.
Excuse me?
There's your impartial judge. Godwin's got no stake in things either way. Part of him is with the Arak'tak and part of him is with the company. As far as I'm concerned, that makes him the perfect man for the job of sorting through all this madness.
Wishman looked at Godwin.
Would you be willing to try?
I suppose. If Dufresne and his men are willing to let me act as the mediator...
Dufresne eyed him for a moment.
Yeah. All right, then. We can deal with Godwin. I know he's good people.
Good night, everyone. Don't kill each other while I sleep. Or if you decide to, at least try to be quiet about it.
Anya reluctantly allowed her consciousness to rise back to the surface, and her eyelids fluttered. She expected it to be bright when she opened them, but instead, darkness had fallen again.
How long have I slept?
It must have been at least 8 hours since her run-in with Dufresne. She thought about Godwin and wondered how the young man would take to playing the role of mediator between the Arak'tak and the mining company. She'd lied, of course, when she had suggested that Godwin was impartial. He had a lot to gain by playing his cards right. Wishman might be willing to accept him into the Arak'tak, and she knew that would make Godwin very happy indeed.
But what about the miners? How will they react if they feel things didn't turn out properly?
In response to that question, Anya's stomach seized up, and she came fully awake, her eyes scanning the darkness for what had woken her. Nothing moved in the shelter. Anya could detect nothing out of the ordinary among the shadows. She used her peripheral vision to try to catch any movement, but after several minutes of keeping still, Anya wasn't convinced she was in any danger. She frowned and thought about how nice it would be to drift back to sleep. Someone was approaching her lodge. Anya slid out of bed and stole smoothly to the door. Anya looked down at the doorknob and saw it start to turn. Then the latch opened. A shadow fell across the doorframe. In the next instant, she was astride him, jabbing the tip of her sword under his chin.
Stop!
Anya frowned. Something hadn't felt right about him when she saw him come through the main lodge doorway earlier today, and now here was the proof that he was up to no good.
Should I just kill you now and save myself the trouble later?
What? No, don't kill me! I just came to check on you.
Check on me? Is that what you're calling it now?
Let me up and I'll prove it to you.
You move and I'll run you through. Why in the world would you be checking up on me? Does it look like I need a nursemaid?
You do! You've been unconscious for 2 days!
Anya moved the sword away from his throat.
2 days? I've been asleep that long?
I wouldn't call it sleep, and neither did anyone else. Wishman tried to explain to us what you went through, but I don't know how many of us believed it. However, that sword is pretty convincing.
Anya frowned. She hadn't wanted to brandish the thing unnecessarily. She got up from Dufresne and switched on the light. The miner pointed next to her bed, and Anya could see that there were bowls of some sort of stew that sat untouched.
We tried to wake you up with food. It didn't work.
So how come you're the one checking up on me now? Why not Wishman or Godwin or someone else?
It was my turn to pull a shift. Figures I'd be the lucky one who happened to wake you up.
Actually, you are. Very lucky. I didn't trust you when I first saw you.
And now?
We'll see. I don't feel as if I've slept for 2 days.
She did feel remarkably well rested. Her limbs felt loose and ready. It felt good to be back and refueled.
Like I said, it didn't look like sleep to any of us. Coma was what we thought. The agreement was that if you didn't wake up in another day, we were going to drive you to the hospital.
Let me guess. Wishman said to wait.
Yep. And he was right. I don't understand much of what these people do or say, but they seem to know about stuff like this. Creepy as it is. I mean, evil gods? How do you even begin to deal with that?
Did you grow up Christian?
Well, yeah. But I'm not really sure what I am now. Does that matter?
No. The important thing is that if you recognize that there's some sort of positive force in the universe, then you've also got to accept the idea that there is an equal and negative influence as well. A lot of people can't do that. And some of the fanatics would argue against it as well.
Can't say I ever thought I'd be getting involved with something like this. How did you do it?
I have no idea.
That?
Dufresne gestured at Anya's sword.
Yeah, I'd really appreciate it if we kind of kept that between us, okay? I don't need the publicity, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, sure. No sweat. It's our secret. You got it, Anya.
Anya thought about the stew nearby. She was ravenous. But the bowls looked old, and she feared she would get sick if she ate any of it.
Thanks. What time is it?
Almost supper time.
Excellent. At least that means I can get some grub in my stomach. I'm dying of hunger here.
Wishman has arranged a big meal. I think he knew you were going to be waking up. I don't know how.
Let's go. Did you guys work everything out?
Yeah. Wishman and Godwin working together were pretty persuasive.
They worked together? That must have been something to see.
Yeah. They seemed to get along good, all right. And we've known Godwin for some time, so we took his word seriously.
Glad to hear it.
They stopped in front of the main lodge, and the door opened abruptly. Wishman's smiling face beamed out at Anya.
So, the mighty warrior has at last awakened. Welcome back, friend of Bear, slayer of gods.
You know, Anya will really suffice. All that other stuff takes too long to say.
As you wish.
He stepped back and allowed Anya to enter. When Anya had last left the main lodge, the tension had been palpable. Now it was gone.
Things have certainly changed.
I am sometimes surprised that I still have so much to learn, despite my age. Sometimes it takes a common crisis to drive the lesson home.
We've certainly had plenty of that. But I hear things have worked themselves out?
Yes. You were right about Godwin. The young man worked out exceedingly well. He made the perfect bridge between our two people.
What'd you come up with?
Well, we're willing to accept the notion that the deal was designed to get Wayman and Hansen into the burial mound and was never about the diamonds at all. In exchange, the Arak'tak have agreed to renegotiate the deal and enter into a partnership with us for ownership and exploration of the mine.
Equal ownership? That wasn't something I expected to hear.
Well, you never know unless you try, right? And we were the ones who suddenly found ourselves unemployed.
What do you mean?
We called back to company headquarters, or what we thought was company headquarters, only to be told the entire board of directors actually consisted of Wayman and Hansen. And no one seemed to know where they were.
The entire company was a sham?
We don't know. What we do know is that without a board, the company has no real future and will most likely be dissolved.
Yeah, but what about the deal already in place?
Dufresne pointed at Godwin.
Turns out the young guy there has some powerful connections in the legal world. He made a few phone calls on our satellite phone, and in turn, his friends got us out of the original deal. The Arak'tak will pay back the money, and we are free to enter into a new agreement.
It was that simple?
Well, not quite. But at the end of the day, Godwin managed to get it all worked out. I'm a miner, not a lawyer, so I'm not clear on all the conditions and whatnot. But what matters is that we have a new deal and a new reason to celebrate. The guys and I have better jobs now doing what we do best, digging rock.
And we will still benefit from the mine itself.
Once the remains are taken to the new burial area closer to the Arak'tak community. That was a part of the deal.
Good. So that gives us plenty of time now?
It should. We would like to get started as soon as possible, but traditions come first. And Dufresne and his men seem willing to work with us on that.
That's the understanding that was missing from the original deal. Nice job, guys.
It was Godwin, mostly. He has proven his worth.
You can tell me all about it over dinner. I'm starving. I hear I've been out for 2 days.
Well, you did have a lot of resting to do. I alone was unconcerned. But the men insisted on caring for you. It was quite touching, actually.
Big bunch of softies, the lot of you.
Wishman led her over to the main table that had been set with a wide range of fresh meats.
You've been busy hunting, haven't you?
Well, someone had to be ready for you when you decided to grace us with your presence again.
Anya looked up into Godwin's face. He smiled at her, and Anya felt a warmth come over her.
Hey, you.
How you feeling?
Rested, good. Overall, pretty damn glad I checked out for a 48-hour furlough.
Leaving us terrified for you. Wishman was most concerned out of all of us.
You speak lies, Godwin. I alone had the faith to know Anya would be fine.
If you call nonstop pacing in front of her bed faith, then yeah.
You held a vigil over my bed, Wishman?
Just for a few minutes.
Hours. You finally managed to pry him away from your side and set up shifts. But it seemed to be touch and go there for a while. I thought you'd manage to make it somehow. After all, I saw how you handled that raging rig on the river.
You saw that? I thought the tire had blocked your view.
How could I have missed that? I just didn't say anything since it seemed like you didn't want the attention.
I didn't. Thanks.
Forget it. Let me get you a plate.
Godwin handed her one, and Anya heaped a pile of meat and assorted fixings on it. She made her way to sit down, and all the men smiled at her. She noted that the Arak'tak warriors and the miners all seemed to be back and in good spirits again, although this time no one was passing around any whiskey. Anya sat down and started to eat when Godwin came over and sat next to her.
I'm glad you're all right.
Me too.
Eat your fill, and we have other things to discuss.
Things? I thought I'd be leaving soon.
Oh, there's a lot more we need to talk about. A lot more.
Anya finished her meal in quiet, wondering what Godwin wanted to talk about. She'd expected to wake up, perhaps party a little with the boys, and then figure out a way to hitch a lift back to Inuvik, and from there head back home. Godwin apparently had other plans. As Anya sat there munching away, she watched the flow and energy of the room. Godwin had proven to be a much different person than the quiet driver who had trucked them north. Out from behind the shadow of Derek Wainman, he was very much his own man. Anya found his presence slightly intoxicating. He glanced over at her a few times, and in each instance a sly grin winked out for a brief second before being withdrawn again. It was like someone dangling a piece of yarn in front of a kitten. Every time Anya tried to smile back, he would be just out of reach.
The hell with it. He'll be over here soon enough. No sense looking like a silly schoolgirl trying to flirt with him.
She finished her plate of food and got up to throw the scraps away. As she crossed the floor, she spied Wishman holding conference with Nyaktuk. They were deep in conversation, and the expression on Nyaktuk's face seemed far grimmer than the environment warranted. Anya sidled over and nudged Wishman.
Is everything all right? You two look like you're holding a war council or something like that.
It doesn't concern you anymore, Anya. After everything you've done for us, we wouldn't dream of giving you any more problems.
What problems could you have? Last I checked, you had a brand new deal, still owned this land, and have nothing but a bright future ahead of you.
There are loose ends.
You mean Derek and Hansen? Maybe the woods got them. It's not exactly friendly out there, you know.
None of the trucks were missing, which means they have journeyed elsewhere on foot.
Let me guess. You want to go after them?
We cannot let them escape.
Wishman held up his hand to stop Anya before she could protest.
I know what you're thinking, Anya, and you're right. We have a good thing here and should do nothing to ruin it. But we cannot let those two men escape. If we do, they will just come back and try again.
Anya turned and found Godwin approaching her. He nodded at Wishman and Nyaktuk.
Do you mind if I steal her away from you for a few minutes?
What's on your mind?
They walked toward an unoccupied corner of the lodge, and Godwin folded his arms.
Are you in a hurry to get out of here?
I'm thinking yes, but I know you have something else in store for me, don't you?
He smiled, and Anya found herself drawn to him as if seeing him for the first time.
It would be nice if you could hang around for a time.
Why?
He looked into her eyes.
Do you really need the answer to that question?
You know, part of me thinks that you're very careful about what you show the rest of the world.
Maybe you're right.
I think I am.
Yeah. Well, if you happen to feel like sticking around, who knows? You just might find out if you're right or wrong.
So why don't you tell me what's so important that you want me to stay?
Godwin looked around the room.
We've got a good thing going on here, but I'd be a fool to think that it's absolutely secure.
Meaning what?
We need to find Derek and Hansen. As long as they're around, we have a potential problem. A big one at that.
You think they'd try to take the deal into the courtroom and battle it out there?
They might. Or they might try to get up to their old tricks.
But their god... I killed it, I guess.
Wishman told us. I guess I have to believe him, but I'm not sure how you were able to do that.
Join the club.
But if they could somehow resurrect that thing, then what's to stop them from trying again with some other long-forgotten deity?
Anya felt eyes on her, and glanced up to see Wishman and Nyaktuk watching them intently. She frowned and glanced back at Godwin.
I see this was a tag team recruitment, huh?
Okay, I won't insult you by suggesting otherwise. Wishman came to me and said he felt like it would be easier if I spoke with you about it. When you interrupted them over there, that was just coincidence.
No such thing as coincidence.
Well, it was unintentional on our part. But I hope you might be willing to come along with us.
Us? Who's going on this little adventure?
Well, me, for one.
That's a good start.
And Wishman says he must come with us. Nyaktuk will be there as well.
Four of us?
We mentioned it to Dufresne to give him the option of going along. It was mostly out of respect, but we'd welcome another hand on the mission. God knows what those two might be up to out there.
Anya could tell that what they told her was the truth. Only finding out what had happened to Derek and Hansen could eliminate a greater threat in the near future. If a line was to be drawn in the war against good and evil, then now was the time, whether Anya felt like drawing it or not. She didn't feel that she had much of a choice in the matter. Anya waved Wishman and Nyaktuk over. She watched them move quickly as if they had been waiting for the signal for hours.
I am sorry that we've had to put you in this situation, Anya.
At least you're calling me by my real name. You feel strong enough to make the trip? They have a head start on us. They could be headed anywhere. And there's been fresh snow while I was unconscious. That means their trail will be a hard one to follow.
We have traveled these lands for thousands of years. If we listen closely, the spirit of the land will tell us exactly how to find them.
And I can track them anywhere.
And you, Godwin? You're up for this?
I'm looking forward to it.
Godwin is ready to undertake this journey. I think it will bring him closer to who he really is.
Well, I guess there's no way I'm getting out of it, huh?
Is that a yes?
It's not a no. When do we leave?
The next morning dawned white and frosty again as the cold winds swept over the plain. Anya was up earlier than she expected, feeling as though she'd stored almost too much energy during her 2-day forced vacation. She stood atop the burial mound and waited for the others to arrive. As she scanned the surrounding countryside, she wondered which way Derek and Hansen would travel. The wide, gently sloping plain spread in every direction for at least a mile, hemmed in by swaths of snow-frosted pine trees. Every now and again, the winds would send shuddering waves through the boughs. As Anya took a breath, she caught a whiff of something on the air and turned instinctively toward the entrance to the burial mound. The smell was there, and she reeled back. She felt lightheaded and almost swooned from the scent.
What is that smell?
It was the same as the one from the herb she'd found in the wake of the explosion, but that had crumbled into dust as soon as she picked it up.
Anya?
She turned and saw Wishman coming through the trees toward her. He nodded at the burial mound.
Reliving the victory?
I smelled something.
What?
I don't know what it is, actually. But
The other day when we went down to see the damage, I found something. It looked like an herb or a plant or something. But it was so badly burned that it crumbled in my hands. Only the scent remained. Same as I just smelled. Made me lightheaded.
Are you all right?
I am now. But it's got me thinking that something like that would be a powerful sedative if applied properly.
Most likely it was a bundle of sacred plants used to help seal the wall. When the explosion happened, the plants would have disintegrated. Perhaps that is what you smelled.
What sort of herbs would have been used to seal the wall?
Strong medicinal plants, most likely. Belladonna, oleander, assorted other varieties.
Some of those aren't indigenous to this area.
No, but as with the lignum vitae wood, we bartered for the more exotic plants. The goal was to use enough of a magical combination to ensure the creature inside did not have a chance to escape.
Godwin came through the trees, followed by Nyaktuk. Nyaktuk drew two sledges behind him, with deep runners that sliced into the fresh snow. Atop the sledges, several packs of provisions lay, along with three rifles.
Only three guns?
Well, you do have that sword. We felt giving you a gun might be unfair to our enemies.
Good morning to you, too.
Nyaktuk brought one hand up and shaded his brow with it. He looked to Wishman.
Which way do you think they went?
Wishman closed his eyes and moved his lips silently. After a minute, he opened them again and turned slightly to the right.
East, to the mountains. They will make for the Ragjik Pass.
What's the Ragjik Pass?
A place of despair.
That doesn't tell me much.
We must start now. The pass lays a solid 30 miles to the east, and they have a head start on us.
No dogs for this leg of the journey, huh?
We will take turns pushing the sledges to conserve our strength. And on the downward legs, we'll be able to ride. But I fear most of our journey will be a climb.
You still up for this, Anya?
If I try to leave, will you let me go?
Not a chance. Not that I'm kidnapping you or anything, but you know we need you on this.
We did the recruitment thing last night. It's fine. I'm in all the way on this. Nyaktuk, tell me more about the Ragjik Pass. Why is it so full of despair?
Nyaktuk tightened the straps on the sledge.
The pass is virtually inaccessible during the winter snows. Avalanches are common in those parts.
Ah, so this is turning into a suicide mission. Well, as long as I know what to expect.
Godwin put a hand on her shoulder.
We're in this together.
I know it. Wishman, is there any sort of significance to the pass itself? Why would they head there when they could go someplace more hospitable to them?
The pass is supposedly haunted by an evil spirit that seeks to trap climbers and bury them alive. The legend is that the spirit is of a great animal that used to roam these parts, but has since gone extinct.
What, like a mammoth or something?
No one knows. Over the years, many have ventured into the pass. None of them have ever returned to tell the stories of their adventures. I have known a dozen men from various tribes who have tried their luck. None of them are alive today.
And that's where we're going. I really need to plan my vacations better.
Anya mounted the sledge closest to her and looked at the others.
So, why are we still here? Let's get going. How long will it take us to cover the 30 miles to the mountains?
It depends on the conditions. We could reach it in a day or two, or it could take us longer. We're still in the grip of winter, and the snow falls long and hard this time of year. Any bit of travel will have to be cautious. But we know the route to travel, and the safest one is also the fastest.
Anya watched as Wishman settled himself on the lead sledge. Nyaktuk would drive it by running and walking through the snow. Anya hoped he'd had a big breakfast. Godwin stood next to Anya, and she gestured for him to climb aboard.
I'll take the first shift driving.
Are you sure? Maybe I should take the first stint.
Don't get all manly on me now. Just take the chance to rest. I got a ton of extra energy I'm actually dying to burn off. Now, let's stop arguing about it and just get going.
Yeah. She pushed off, following Nyaktuk at a comfortable pace. They slid down the gentle incline of the plain, and in minutes they were already into the trees at the far side of the plain. Behind them, the burial mound receded from view. Anya glanced at it one last time and wondered if she would see it again.
Dufresne turned down the chance to come along, huh?
He said his place was with his men, I don't know if he has the stomach for what we're doing.
And what exactly are we doing?
Stopping Hansen and Derek.
By doing what?
What exactly are you asking me, Anya? Do you want to know if we're going to kill him?
I think I know the answer to that question.
Good. Because unfortunately, I don't think that they'll give us any option but to kill them.
Feels weird, though. We're going out to kill them. This is an assassination mission more than anything else.
It's a mission to stop the evil they intend to unleash.
Have you taken a life before?
What do you think?
Anya shrugged and watched as Nyaktuk altered his course. She followed suit.
I don't know. Like I said last night, there are many parts of you. And a lot of them I haven't seen yet.
Give it time and you will. That much I can promise.
I don't doubt it. But will I like what I see when you do show me?
I suppose we'll find out when the time is right.
Anya nodded. That they could. She had already seen how Godwin had handled himself at the bar in Inuvik. Those unaccustomed to fighting didn't move the way Godwin had.
No, he knows how to fight. And to kill.
They traveled quickly over the thick snow that covered the surrounding landscape. The sledges helped ease the strain of the travel by bearing the heavy loads, but the going was still tough in places where they had to plow through chest-high drifts. Fierce winds blew in from the ocean and through the forests. While the trees broke up some of the force, in some places they only served to intensify the blasts. Anya felt cold even when she huddled in front of the blazing fires they built to ward off as much of the chill as they could at night. They built shelters out of snow rather than use wood that could instead be burned for heat. They crowded inside and built small ledges so the colder air inside dropped to the floor and the heat rose to warm their bodies. Inside the caves, the temperature soared to an almost bearable 40 degrees. Huddled inside their sleeping bags, they survived the bitter nights, only to emerge at dawn to another day of relentless cold. Wishman drove them on a course that defied logic. They would travel east for a distance, then south, only to turn west and then head north for a short distance before once again turning east.
Are we lost?
No, but you must always act as though you are being followed.
Who would be following us through this?
Maybe it was just ancient Araktak wisdom to confound pursuers, even when there weren't any. The sledges carried them far across the forest and tundra. On the afternoon of the third day, as the sun started its descent, they at last spotted the mountains in the east. Their craggy peaks rose like proud, weathered faces turned into the wind. Anya could see the thick snows that blanketed them and the exposed rock that ran through the blanket of white like gray and black veins.
That is our destination. And there is where we will find our prey.
They set up camp that night on the leeward side of a nearby hill. Nyaktuk and Godwin constructed the snow cave, while Wishman fed long sticks into the fire. Anya found that her sword was quite useful in chopping down dead branches of nearby trees, and she carried a heaping bundle in her arms back to the camp. Godwin had also constructed a heat wall to throw some of the precious heat back toward the snow cave's entrance. It didn't work quite as well as they'd all hoped it would. As night fell, they ate by the fire, chewing on the meat that had frozen over the course of the day. Anya found herself eating twice as much to ingest enough calories. Her body seemed to be burning through the food she took in at an alarming rate. They drank hot coffee as soon as it boiled, knowing that it would cool rapidly. Anya's breath moistened her face and then froze there, creating a sheen of frost on her skin.
Tomorrow, we will make for Ragjik Pass. It should take us most of the day to reach the mountain, and then from there we will have to leave the sledges and climb up the narrow trail that few know about.
And how do you know about it?
Because I have climbed Ragjik once before.
I thought you said no one ever comes back from there.
I did. I climbed, but did not have the courage to enter the pass itself. I pray that tomorrow I will be able to enter it, as I should have long, long ago.
Well, we'll be with you. You won't be alone this time. That should make it a little easier, at least.
I was not alone before. In my youth, I traveled to the pass with my best friend. We would camp in the pass for a night and then return home, proving that it was safe and not haunted. But when we approached the mountain, some kind of fear gripped me like never before. I was young, true, but this felt like an old fear. It was almost a living thing. I had already started my studies into the rituals of the Arachtak, so perhaps I was more attuned to such things. But for my friend, he could not understand my sudden reluctance.
Anya found herself holding her breath as Wishman continued his tale.
Of course, my friend challenged me to climb with him. He taunted me, trying to goad me into action. But it would not work. I told him I would not climb the mountain, and I would not enter the pass.
Godwin watched from where he sat, wrapped up by the entrance of the cave.
I should. It may help me tomorrow when I once again face that dreaded place. At last, my friend was able to convince me to at least journey up the mountain with him. He would then enter the pass while I returned to our camp at the base of the mountain. As much as I did not want to go, I agreed, and we set out that next morning. The winds blew ferociously that next day, as if the spirits of the north were trying to keep us away. I saw it as an omen, but my friend did not. He was determined to press on, and dragged me with him, despite the growing fear in my belly. The trail we took only allowed passage one at a time, so we climbed single file. Some sections of the trail were blocked by snowdrifts, and there were loose bits of shale and slate that cascaded down the mountain when we managed to find parts of the trail not covered by snow. The day grew long, and we never stopped climbing. I had not realized that the mountain was that high. From the base camp we'd made, it looked as though we could climb it in a matter of hours.
But that wasn't the case.
You will see tomorrow. At last, we came to a place where the wind abruptly died. Overhead, a giant boulder acted as a roof. We stopped to have a small meal. I tried to convince my friend that we should go home, but he wouldn't hear of it. He took the lull in the storm as a sign that we should press on. He told me that the pass was just a mile further ahead, and that we would be there in no time. I told him I would not go any further. He was welcome to taunt me all he wanted, but I had had enough. I hated the thought of leaving him there, but my own sense of self-preservation demanded that I get myself back down the mountain.
He didn't go with you?
No. He said he would rest, and then journey on to the pass by himself. He was angry with me for not coming along. I think part of him believed that if he was able to get me to climb, that I might forget my fear and agree to go all the way. But that wasn't the case. Each step of the climb only served to convince me more that we should not have been there.
What happened?
I somehow managed to get myself back down the mountain to our base camp. I was ragged by the time I got there. I had almost no strength left. I made myself a fire and hoped that my friend would appear at any moment and we could start for home. At midnight, I heard an awful shriek, such as I had never heard before and have never heard since. I heard it plain as day, despite the howling wind. I knew in my heart that my friend had managed to make it to the pass. What had happened to him then, I had no idea. But I knew he would not be coming back down the mountain to meet me. In the morning, I packed up and headed back to our village. I told everyone that we had gotten separated in a storm and I had managed to find my way back. They sent searchers to try to find him, of course, but no one would ever go near the mountain. And so he was gone. And I alone survived. Perhaps I shouldn't have.
Anya glanced at Godwin, but his face seemed hardened to stone. Wishman turned over and drifted off to sleep. Nyaktuk had already fallen asleep at some point during the story, but Anya felt certain he already knew the tale. She dug herself deeper into her sleeping bag and thought about Wishman's story for a long time before she finally fell asleep. The snow fell all night, leaving 6 inches of fresh powder on the landscape. Anya dug her way out of the snow cave to stand in the gray light of the day. Overhead, thick clouds blotted out the sun, and flakes continued to spiral downward. Wishman stood next to her.
It will snow for the remainder of the day, perhaps several days.
He looked at the sky.
I've never forgotten the sound of my friend's scream. It haunts me, and I think I've known ever since that night that I would come back here to face my fear again.
Anya gazed at the mountain. In the wake of the story Wishman told them, it looked even more imposing. She could make out no sign of a trail winding its way up the boulders and slick runs. But she knew it would be there.
How long will it take us to climb?
With the weather? I don't know. Conditions down here aren't so bad, but on the mountain they'll be far worse. The winds alone will slow us down.
So, how long?
We arrive when we arrive. To plan would be foolish.
Anya nodded. Nyaktuk was readying his sledge, while Godwin made sure the packs were tied down tight. Anya walked over and pointed at the back of the sledge.
I'll take the first shift.
Godwin didn't argue. He'd insisted on spending the majority of the night on watch. Anya had seen how he gripped his rifle. Anya wasn't sure what was going on in his mind. Whether he was embracing his inner Arak'tak, Anya didn't know. But she did know she felt much more comfortable knowing that Godwin was on their side. By mid-morning, they had reached the base of the mountain. Wishman hopped off the sledge and took his time scanning the nearby area. They all watched him.
He's looking for the way into the trail.
Is this the first time you've been here?
Nyaktuk didn't take his eyes off Wishman.
The stories are ones we've all heard, but Wishman's willingness to share his personal story with you last night, something I've never seen him do before. I know that he feels very strongly about stopping those two men.
Godwin gripped his rifle. It was never out of reach now.
Once we get onto the trail, we'll have to leave the sledges here, huh?
We will hide them for the return trip. If there is one.
Anya frowned. She intended to come back, one way or another. She couldn't allow herself to entertain any other possibility. After scanning the area for an hour, Wishman finally poked his head out from behind a particularly large boulder and waved them closer.
It is here!
Godwin wrestled the packs free of the sledge, and they each took one. Anya tightened the straps so her hips would take the majority of the weight. She moved over to where Wishman stood in a small valley between two boulders.
It has been many years since I was here. I apologize for taking so long to find my way back to the trail.
What matters is that we found it. It looks like a pretty gradual incline.
At first, the way for the first 1,000 feet is easy enough, even with the packs. From there, we will have to be very careful.
Anya shielded her brow and looked up at the mountain. Far up, she thought she could see some sort of overhang.
Is that the pass?
Wishman followed her gaze.
That is the overhang where we stopped before my friend journeyed into the pass by himself.
You're sure this is where Derek and Hansen have come?
No, I am not. But the spirits have told me it is so. I must have faith that they would not lead me astray.
Who wants to take the lead?
I have been here before. I will go first.
Is that wise?
I know the ground. None of you do.
All right.
You want to follow him, Nyaktuk? or bring up the rear?
It may be better if I follow Wishman. If he stumbles, I can help him.
All right. After you, we'll put Anya, and then I'll bring up the rear. If I yell for you to get down, don't hesitate. I will need to get a clear shot with the rifle.
Wishman seemed to want to say something, but then merely nodded. Godwin gazed at him, and then Nyaktuk. Unspoken words seemed to pass among them, but Anya could fathom none of it.
Let's get going.